This is the January 2021 bonus episode of the Master of None podcast. Now, I think this episode is going to drop like right after Christmas, so not quite New Year's yet. So it seemed timely for both our tip and challenge to do something with New Year's resolutions. Now, I know there are all sorts of people with all sorts of different opinions on New Year's resolutions, and some people are like, oh, I don't do New Year's resolutions for whatever reason, or I think they're dumb for whatever reason, or I don't do them because nobody ever sticks to them. Well, whatever. Or some people don't do New Year's resolutions because, and admittedly, I've said this before, oh, if I'm going to change something, now is the time to change it. Like, here and now is the time to change my life if I'm going to make some big resolution. But regardless of your feelings or opinions about New Year's resolutions, let's talk about it a little bit. And my tip, I guess, has to do with kind of understanding something about human psychology. So since most of our listeners are human, that has to do with understanding yourself. And one thing that I've probably even talked about this before on the podcast, one way to accomplish big goals is to dream big but work small, or dream big but think small. And an example of that is if you have some huge project, you're working your way through graduate school or whatever it is, some big thing, and it's like, or medical school or building a house or some gigantic project that you can't see the end of and you can't even wrap your mind around each and every individual piece. Well, that's the dream. But don't think about the dream. Think small and work small. Just think about that next little step to get you there, or work on that next little step. Make your world smaller, operate and function in the moment, not in the big picture. So how does that apply to New Year's resolutions? Well, the way that most people go about their New Year's resolution is by saying something like, and maybe I should back up, most people's New Year's resolutions fall into one of two categories. Either I'm going to start doing something, hopefully something that's a good and healthy habit, or I'm going to stop doing something, typically something that's a bad or unhealthy habit. Or I guess sometimes you kind of have that third category of some big goal without any direction or idea of how to get there. Oh, I'm going to get in shape, says someone who has never been in shape before and has no idea how to get there. Well, let's take a step back. Let's go back to those two, either I'm going to start doing something or I'm going to stop doing something. What you're actually telling yourself is, for example, a lot of people say, I'm going to quit smoking. That's my New Year's resolution. What they're actually telling themselves is, on January 1st, I am going to completely change a habit forever. Like, I'm going to either do or not do this thing, working out, eating healthy, not smoking, not drinking, whatever it is, forever. Now, that's a big pill for the human psyche to swallow. And guess what? Most people usually fail on their New Year's resolutions. So here's what we need to do. If you have that type of New Year's resolution, instead of applying it to yourself, just psychologically, instead of applying it to yourself for all of the rest of eternity, just have the goal of doing it for 1 month. That's your resolution. You're going to resolve to do it for 1 month. Now, January has 31 days, so we can break that down even further. If it's something that you're saying, I'm going to do this every day or 6 days a week or whatever, okay? Now, you're only going to do that 31 times. All of a sudden, that's something you can handle, especially when you back it off even further. Okay, I have, you know, basically 4 weeks in January, a little longer, whatever. Okay, I can make it through this next week. I only have to do this 7 times, and then I've made it through 1 week. And then I tackle the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and before I know it, I've made it to the end of January. Or if that's too hard, I can back it off even further. Let's say that my goal was to go for a 1 hour walk every single day. I'm going to start, there's my resolution. That's a great example. I'm going to go for a 1 hour walk every day. Well, if you're applying that to yourself for forever, That's a lot for your mind to process with no measurable milestones, no success. That's only failure, really, because like if I do that for the next 5 years, I haven't even succeeded at doing it for the rest of my life. So you're really setting yourself up for failure. So that's our starting point. I'm going to go for a 1 hour walk, and maybe it's a 30 minute walk or whatever. Fill in the blank. Like I said, let's back that off to January. Okay, I'm going to go for a 1 hour walk every day for the entire month of January. Well, that could still be a lot. So I'm going to go for a 1 hour walk. Maybe that's the goal, but I'm going to go for a 1 hour walk. I only have to do that 7 times, and then I've made it through this week. And now I'm making progress toward my goal of doing that for the entire month. Or I only need to do this 1 time. I'm going to go for a walk for an hour today. And that's 1 out of my 7 days this week. I can check that one off and I can feel good about myself. And then tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. Or maybe for you, it's even a stretch to go for that, to walk for a full hour. Well, guess what? You can back that off even further. And during that hour, you can think, okay, right now, maybe my legs are a little sore. Maybe I'm not used to walking this far, but I'm not dying. I'm not bleeding to death. My legs are not, I'm not injured. I haven't pulled any tendons or anything like that. I can keep going. It's not that bad. And at the end of that hour, it's going to be here before you know it. At the end of that hour, now I've succeeded. Now I can feel good about myself and I can do it again tomorrow. So you see how there's the difference between breaking it up into those tiny, tiny pieces of what am I doing right now? Am I choosing to quit or am I choosing to do something right now? If that's what it takes, is backing it off to the moment that you're in and then building that throughout the entire month. And then by the end of the month, okay, now we've succeeded. Now we have momentum. Because if you have a New Year's resolution, and even if your goal was even to do it every day for a year, at the end of the month, you're only a 12th of the way there. But if your goal is just to do it for that month and then see how you feel, see how it makes you feel, then you're building on success instead of building on failure. So that's kind of my tip and challenge for you, is to reanalyze whatever it is you have in the back of your mind as a New Year's resolution and frame it to yourself in those terms. Instead of something that you're going to do forever, do it for a month and then reflect on how good it's made you feel to have that success. And then, you know, and then do it for the next month. Sure. And then the next month. And before you know it, you're actually enjoying it and it's a habit instead of a chore. Now, if you want to have an actual resolution for the year, here's the thing. Like we talked about, most people's resolutions are that either I'm going to do this every day forever, or I'm never going to do this again. If you want to apply something to the entire year, here's what I would recommend. Write down a goal that you're going to accomplish by the end of the year. And that goal cannot be one of those two things that we just talked about. Your goal cannot be, I'm not going to smoke for the entire year, because that's just falling back into that pattern that we talked about before. The goal could be, I am going to learn a new language this year. I am going to read fill in the blank book this year. I'm going to, I don't know, run for public office this year, maybe my city council or something like that. I'm going to fill in the blank, whatever it is, whatever that goal is for the year, that's going to have steps that you can take to get you there. And then by the end of the year, a very measurable outcome of, did I do this thing or did I not? So like I said, that's kind of the tip and the challenge for the month of January, is to reframe whatever it is that you had in mind as your New Year's resolution. Okay, book recommendation. As all of you know who have been listening to the podcast for any length of time, we each month for our bonus episodes, we do a tip, a challenge, and a book recommendation. So my book recommendation for this month is a little different. Because it's not a specific book. You might find many books by this title. My book recommendation is The Arabian Nights. Now, like I said, there are many, many, many books out there by this title. And many different authors, editors, and so on. The Arabian Nights is, if you've never read it before, let me give you a quick overview of what it is. So it's a collection of stories built into one story. So you may see it called The Arabian Nights. You may also see it called The Thousand and One Nights. And the story, the overall framework, the story goes that there was a king who every day would marry a different woman and then have her executed the next day. And at some point, he encountered this woman named either Scheherazade or Scheherazade, depending on the translation that you're reading. And she wasn't too keen on being executed the next day. She was a beautiful woman, so he married her, and she kind of knew the drill. So what she did is she used her storytelling skills, and she told the king a story, and began the story, but she left him hanging. Classic cliffhanger. This principle is applied all the time in all of the shows that we binge watch because, oh, they leave you hanging at the end of the episode. Well, turns out she did that for 1,001 nights because he just couldn't wait to hear the end of the story. But as soon as she had wrapped up that story, she led into another captivating story and then would leave off and go to sleep and leave the king hanging again so that he just had to hear the end of that story. And the end of the story, he finally realizes that maybe he ought not to have been doing that, the whole execution every day thing, and was completely captivated with Scheherazade, and they fell madly in love and lived happily ever after, and all of that. That story is not the greatest story in the Arabian Nights. The really good part is all of the stories that she tells. And traditionally, there are 1,001 of these stories, all having their origin in traditional stories coming from the Mediterranean, the Middle East, North Africa, Turkey, kind of that part of the world. And some of these stories, I'm sure many of you are familiar with, including Aladdin and Sinbad the Sailor and Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves, just to name a few of the more famous ones. A few of the less famous stories would include, The Talking Bird, The Singing Tree, and The Golden Water, the story of Gulnare and the Sea, the story of Prince Agib, and many, many others. So, I'll tell you about my copy. Well, I actually have several copies from different authors and editors, and they select different stories and translate them differently and tell them a little differently. My copy that's one of my favorites is The Arabian Nights, edited by Kate Douglas Wiggin and Nora A. Smith. And one of the reasons that I really like it, illustrated by Maxfield Parrish. So the illustrations are actually these beautiful paintings that depict various scenes from these stories, and just totally captivating. Now, why am I recommending this book or these books? If you're going to pick one up, the one that I just recommended, I would highly suggest if you can get your hands on a copy. If not, try to find the version that is the longest, that has the most of these stories. And one of the reasons that I'm recommending this book, a few reasons why I'm recommending this book, the amount of cultural allusion in our modern day-to-day lives that traces its roots back to something from the Arabian Nights might surprise you. So reading these stories and familiarizing yourself with these stories is a really good way to familiarize yourself with some of those cultural allusions. Now, by and large, most of the translations, editions, whatever it would be called, of the Arabian Nights are, I would say, kid appropriate. So they make really good bedtime stories for older kids who are at least old enough to appreciate the story. And now that I'm saying that, I realize that as I read the Arabian Nights to my kids, I'm kind of doing the exact same thing that Scheherazade was doing to the king, where we're not reading the entire story, but anywhere that I leave off in one of these stories, you feel like you're just kind of on the edge of your seat with what's going to happen next. And they have to come back and listen and engage in these stories. So that makes it kind of fun too, that it's something that you can read to your kids. Now, I will say, if any of you out there are aware of a version of the Arabian Nights that includes all 1,000 stories, please let me know, because I will buy it, I will read it. That would be awesome. I don't know if it even exists. So there you have it. That is all I have for our bonus episode for this month. Just to recap real quick, both the tip and the challenge for the month of January 2021, or whenever you're listening to this, are to reframe whatever you had in mind as your New Year's resolution, to make it, to just frame it in a with a mindset of success instead of setting yourself up for failure. Our book recommendation was The Arabian Nights, any and all versions that you might find of that, but I specifically recommended the version The Arabian Nights, edited by Kate Douglas Wiggin and Nora A. Smith, and illustrated by Maxfield Parrish. So that's all I have for this month. I will catch up with you in a month. Bye.